My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes. Whether you're sharing pics from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show episode after episode. So stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Afrotech 2019, Oakland, California. Arv Grissel is founder and CVO at Vibe Heavy, a creative collective of entertainment and technology innovators based in the heart of Seattle. He's partnered with world-class brands like Microsoft, Salesforce, Netflix, and more to deliver engaging experiences in both the digital and physical world. He's on an Afrotech stage talking about securing the bag with riding waves that are proving themselves out, building on traction versus chasing trending tech.
One of the things I want to focus on is trends versus traction. You come to tech conferences, everybody wants to work on the sexy stuff, right? AI, AR, VR, chatbots, natural language processing, right? Like, oh yeah, it's all sexy. But that stuff doesn't have traction, right? And what I talk about mass market adoption, I talk about enterprise companies. When an enterprise company wants to buy something and resell it, it has mass market adoption. If we only talking about M's and not B's, I'm not interested, right? Because when an ecosystem has billions and trillions of dollars flowing through it, then there's a lot of things you can go swim in the wake of. If you're trying to rush to the top and be the first cat on AR or VR and all that other stuff, it might not even happen. And usually black people don't have the resources to throw things at it and hope that it's gonna work out for them. So I wanna focus on traction.
I'm Will Lucas, Mrs. Black Tech, Green Money. I'm going to introduce you to some of the biggest names, some of the brightest minds, and brilliant ideas. If you're black in building or simply using tech to secure your bag, this podcast is for you. Sterling Smith is founder at Sandbox Commerce, which helps store owners launch e-commerce apps without having to learn the code and in less than 10 minutes. So many black retailers are already left behind with present-day tech. So I asked Sterling about the future of retail and what it might look like to see if there's a lane black people can specifically play in to position ourselves for success with e-commerce and retail.
Yeah, the future of retail, a couple things that jump out when you hear, but when I'm asked about the future of retail is headless commerce. Retailers want freedom. Retailers want flexibility. They want the ability to say, hey, I'm with Shopify one day, but Shopify isn't allowing me to service my customers in this way using this third-party integration partner. So let me go to BigCommerce. And they want minimal to zero lag time, downtime. So they want their site to be able to, they want to be able to continue to transact with their customers. They want to be able to leverage the data and own it, their customer data. And technologies like Sandbox Commerce allow for growing brands and retailers should do that in the same way that large brands and retailers that you might find in Nordstrom, Neiman Marcus and the such and the like. So yeah, that's the future of retail. As a broad answer, but we can dive a little deeper.
Yeah, and we'll go deeper because I think so much about, like, you know, transactions is one thing. So if you've got the Shopify account, you've got WooCommerce popping, or, you know, you're using any of these platforms, like, getting the transaction done is one thing. But so many of our, potentially, specifically Black entrepreneurs, those startups, they're shipping from their living room. You know, they're printing, you know, UPS labels and boxing up out of their garage. So when you think about the transactions being in one bucket, how do we also manage our deliverables? Because, okay, you got my money now. I want to know where my stuff is at.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, tools like ShipStation, Shipping Easy, a couple of these, both of these are fulfillment solutions that really enhance the fulfillment process, allowing you to really take, you know, more control over the fulfillment process. You know, tools like Sandbox Commerce, again, allowing you to inform customers about using push notifications about the status of the product that you shipped from your new mobile app that would have cost you $100,000 to build last year, but you're paying $100 a month to build a mobile app using our technology. And, you know, solutions like that, that really democratize access to technology like ours for people who are, frankly, shipping products from their living room.
I kind of imagine what your answer might be to this, but I'm interested in, like, the inception of the idea here, because so many Black businesses get left behind technologically just because we can't keep up. You know, we talk about the funding that goes to Black owned businesses, huge disparity there.
Right.
And then you think about it, there was an SBA study that came out. I think this last time they did it was like 2013. And it said 80% of Black owned businesses and my ethnic minority owned businesses are in the bottom 20% of industries for revenue. So we over-index on, like, dry cleaners and lawn care services and car washes and et cetera. 80% of our businesses are in these bottom 20% of categories for sales revenue. Talk about, like, the mission, like, what was the idea? Because I imagine what the mission was is to help us do better business. But, like, what happened that you said, you know, this is a problem I want to help solve to help, you know, give some balance to Black owned businesses?
Right. And that's a great question. I'll tell you, I went from being a software engineer at Walmart. It was my first job out of school. Lockheed Martin, living in Doha, Qatar, was my second job out of school. And then Booz Allen Hamilton in DC. And for each of those companies, there were a lot of shared attributes that I picked up along the way that helped inform my decision to start Sandbox Commerce. Before, you know, the bridge between corporate, working as an engineer, individual contributor at those companies, to starting Sandbox Commerce included a step in between where I started my first company, an agency called Launch Partner. And Launch Partner, the motto there still is, if it takes longer than 8 weeks to build, it's probably not an MVP. And so today we've, I think, built 85 MVPs and they're still cooking. I'm no longer involved in the day-to-day, but I'm a whole owner of the company. Super, super excited about that. Whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
But in my experience building and growing Launch Partner, one of the first things that I noticed that I needed was a team. And I think one of the answers to that question is that a lot of Black-owned businesses, in many cases, not speaking, I don't want to speak too broadly, but they lack a team. You got to build coalitions. You got to be able to convince people that, you know, you want to solve a bigger problem than yourself. And I think that's number one. But where I learned that we may be onto something bigger, there may be a big opportunity in helping early stage and growing brands and retailers build mobile apps using technology, was when we were approached by not just one, but multiple, you know, diverse led retailers expressing interest in building a mobile app for their brand. And at Launch Partner, wearing my consultant hat, and really kind of, it would cost them upwards of $50,000 and usually on average around $120,000 to launch a mobile app. And in 2021, that sounds foolish, because there should be technology that allows, you know, a growing aspirational, you know, brand and retailer to operate and take advantage of data, take advantage of push notifications, take advantage of curbside pickup technology that the larger brands are crushing it with, they should be able to do that as well. And so enter Sandbox Commerce. It started this really ugly, really clunky, embarrassing, really, no code mobile app builder before no code was a hashtag, before headless commerce was a hashtag. We started, we built out an MVP. I think it was 10 weeks, if I'm being honest. We built out something that demonstrated the capability. And ever since then, have just been iterating on that. And so the inception was, we started Sandbox to help those, to help democratize access. You've heard that a lot, but it's true. Access to the technology that helps retailers, specifically for this conversation, diverse-led founders, Black founders, reach their audience and actually provide a lot of the services that larger brands and retailers leverage.
Yeah, you touched on a few things that I want to come back to, but I want to continue setting the stage here because the story is so interesting. And, you know, you talked about democratizing, you know, the competitive landscape for retail, right? For ethnic-led, Black-led, you know, companies and retailers.
Certainly.
But there's also, you know, in your startup story, like, what plays out in so many Black-led companies, like a funding, you know, issue with just trying to get going yourself. So you've got this great product, but how do you get it capitalized to get to market? And so let's talk about, just because I want to jump on this before we get too far into the sandbox, let's talk about Black Freelancer, because you took your skills and said, you know what, I'm building this startup. Let me go hustle my skills elsewhere to continue paying for this startup. Let's talk about
that. Come on. Yeah. If I told you that I had five jobs, do you think I was telling the truth or lying?
Five jobs.
And it's not even fake. It's real. So effectively, there was a point along this journey, and shout out to my day ones. We have some awesome day one investors. I don't want to call them out because they may get blown up, but there are people who get it and who saw the vision early on. A very diverse collection of former founders and industry experts who are like, oh, this guy building this company, we went in. And shout out to all those people that came in early. So we raised an angel round, just over 700,000, not including what I put in myself. And it didn't happen. The problem is for many diverse founders, that 700,000 doesn't come in right away. That 700,000 came over a period of 3 to 4 years. And when you think about raising funding and you think about piecing together, you know, $700,000 and you're getting $65,000 or $80,000 in a year, it feels more like a salary of any, more than an investment in the company. But again, not discounting those investments, but in order to really swing for the fences, you have to be like our competitor who in half that time raised $20 million. With showing a lot less. And so you said it, you know, many Black founders don't get the funding that our counterparts who are white get, right? And so there was a period where I realized after just, you know, running into the same wall over and over again, that in order for me to be successful, and large in part for a lot of Black founders to be successful, we can't follow the route that they teach you in MBA school or in, you know, Techstars or some of the other accelerators that say, oh, if you just call 100 people, you know, a certain percentage of those people will write checks. And if you, you know, write your pitch deck in this specific manner, it's going to happen. Most of my peers who I break bread with multiple times a week, we talk about this. They all agree that we have to take a non-conventional approach to fundraising, whether that's making more phone calls or writing memorandums. I know that a lot of my peers have done that, which is a very kind of bleeding edge approach to fundraising today. For me, I found that after, you know, speaking to the next level investors, these institutional investors that said no to me with more traction, more revenue, more experience, and then said yes with $20 million in funding to my competitor, I said, okay, we got to do something different. So what did I do? I created an Upwork account. And I started freelancing. And within 12 months, I'm not gonna put it on the record what kind of monthly income I was pulling in toward the end of 2020, just into this last year. because I started in I started sterlingsmith.dev is my website, where I basically highlighted what I'm good at as an engineer and had a call to action. If you want to work with me, visit sterlingsmith.dev and you can work with me. And over time, I created an Upwork account that I initially had to use a white person's photograph to start winning bids. Okay. And then they made me eventually validate my ID using a picture, et cetera. But by that point, I had 5 stars and was doing 5 figures a month in side projects. And some of them were fractional CTO roles. Others were engineering roles. But toward the end of last year, closed out the end of last year with working actively on about 6 projects, all in the tech space, and ended up going on full time with a company that said, Sterling, we just want you to keep doing what you're doing. You can keep your job for the time being. You can, here's 1% of, you know, here's an equity in the company, and here's unlimited vacation while you continue to work, you know, deliver, you know, with this company. But between that and the other businesses that I own, literally at one point in time, was working on 5 projects at once. And so that's what it's taken to really fund the company. So Inner Black Freelancer, to your point, Inner Black Freelancer, I said, hey, why aren't more diverse founders doing this? Because there is a way to self-fund your business when you are faced with the reality, like I was and many of my peers are, that the funding is either going to come, it's going to take a lot longer to get it, or it's not going to come at all in some cases. So do for self and let's go out there and get it ourselves and let's break bread with each other. And so that's where Black Freelancer started. And it's a project that really encourages, you know, it's Upwork for Black freelancers. Many people that I've worked with over the last year and along the way have said, where can I find more Black freelancers? We want diverse teams, but they don't really want diverse teams. Well, if you're really looking for diverse teams, remember blackfreelancer.com. You can go and find, you can choose from a list of over 1,200 Black freelancers across the spectrum. And that's only been for the past 3 months that it's been, the beta's been live. So that's where Black Freelancer came about.
During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family, or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, whether you're at home or on the go, so you can stay connected to your loved ones and to your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode after episode. So connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G and home internet and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Cover's not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001 SOC 2 and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Quora use Vanta to build trust and improve security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special.
Yeah, so I hear you saying, you know, you had better technology than your counterpart who raised, you know, 20 times, you know, essentially what you were able to raise, 20 times plus. I mean, it's more than that. But tech's supposed to be a meritocracy. Silicon Valley's supposed to be a meritocracy. No?
Right.
What is it? What's happening here?
No, I'm with you. No, so I'm gonna bite. You know, the reality is that, you know, I, in the earliest stages, my competitor raised $2 or $3 million without a product to show. So it's, and we had a product to show. Again, we were running about 6 months earlier than them. They came about, they rolled out. And by the way, the CEO of that company signed up for my product to snoop around before he even wrote anything. And we knew it. I called him up, and because I was like, this is kind of fishy. And those are the days where I was calling every new customer. And I called him up, and he told me his name, and I found out who he was. And I was like, okay, well, you know, let's just continue to do what we're doing. Of course, we locked it down and restricted things more after that. But the long story short is that this game's not fair. It's not going to be fair. That can't be a reason why we don't succeed. So Silicon Valley is definitely not a meritocracy. I think it's safe to say that.
So I want to talk about low code and no code. So I'll start with no code first. You hear this phrase, this hashtag, you know, no code, and which is effectively saying to folks, you know, you can build an app, get in the App Store, get in the iTunes, the App Store, get in Google Play, wherever, and not have to write code. Is it really no? Do I still have to know CSS? Do I still have to know HTML? Or is it really dragging around buttons and dropping them into where you want them?
Great. No, that's a great question. And the short answer is, with Sandbox Commerce, it is a no code solution. No code, which means that you can sign up and drag and drop your way to building an app that's launched to both app stores. And you can build out that app using our interface within 30 minutes. Usually it takes about a week or two for the app stores to approve it, but you're not doing that. Our client success team at Sandbox Commerce is doing that. Now, using tools like Webflow and Bubble, and there are a handful of others that are crushing it right now. I think Webflow is on track to be a $1 billion company if it's not already. Now, they're, in my opinion, considered low code solutions. So there's a degree of dragging and dropping, but to really fine tune the solution, you'll need to know a little bit of CSS and JavaScript and/or JavaScript. But one thing that I can talk that I admire about Webflow is that what also makes them successful for less technical users of the platform is they have a ridiculously rich resource library of videos. And I think they have something called Webflow Universities, to where if you're non-technical even, and you're trying, and you have the time and energy to spin up on, you know, without having a computer science degree, you can modify the user experience by using the resources they have. And frankly, that's where we want to be. And that's where we plan on being with Sandbox Commerce. But low code and no code, the difference is that with no code, the promise is you can build complex technology without writing a line of code. Check out Sandbox Commerce if you're a retailer that uses Sandbox, Shopify, or BigCommerce. You can prove me wrong if you like. But Webflow is a tool, it's a low code solution that allows you to do that as well.
So you've got, you know, retailers with physical locations who've had to iterate to years ago, let's say a decade ago, to build websites, or maybe two decades ago now to build websites. And then they had to have an app. And now you've got social, and now you've got people selling directly via Instagram. Like, and I just want to run my business. I just want to sell my t-shirts. I just want to sell, right, you know, my eyelashes, whatever, like whatever you like. I just want to sell my stuff. Like, where should I be focusing my attention if I don't want to? This is the next thing. Now I got to go do that. Because you just told me a year ago I had to have an app. Now you're telling me I got to have my Instagram store popping.
Yes. So, I mean, I think that you start with the fundamentals. You start, you know, where you are, and you look at the resources to include time that you have at your disposal, and you do the best that you can at that. And then you measure everything. You measure engagement, you measure responses, you measure sales. Sandbox Commerce, we have a tool in beta right now called Sandbox Social to help bring your shoppable Instagram outside of Instagram and incorporate tagged images in blog posts and things like that. That is for the more advanced and kind of the more mature business or influencer. You know, if you're looking to sell t-shirts or hats, I would advocate first that you use a tool like Shopify or BigCommerce to build out a website, because you really need to have a website so that you're not getting taken advantage of by the fees that tools like Amazon might charge, right? So I would start with a website and I would make that the best representation of what you're selling. And then once you are firmly established and you've proven out the potential of the website, then you begin to keep your head on the swivel and look at other opportunities to, you know, double down. But it doesn't need to be that complicated as far as, you know, doing everything at once. Now, when it's time to build an app, you should certainly look at Sandbox Commerce, because you're going to save a lot of time, a lot of money, and you're also going to keep the money in the community. And so for all these reasons, it's a no-brainer to use Sandbox Commerce. And there are other tools. I can provide you with a list offline, Will, of tools that you may want to also keep in mind to share with you some of your guests later on future episodes.
Well, let's do that now, because I wanted to talk about, like, what are some if let's say I don't want to be the biggest, you know, I don't want to be an engineer, but I want to learn how to run my retail store better, right? And so other than Sandbox, which we are getting educated on here, what are some other tools, softwares, and other things that you know about, particularly Black owned? You know, if you got Upsy, which I'll go ahead and throw in there.
Shout out to Upsy.
Yeah, shout out to Upsy.
Shout out Clarence over there, yes. Upsy, for real. Yes. Like, yes.
So you've got that. Let's talk about other tools that help me as a Black owned entrepreneur running a lifestyle company. Maybe I'm running a barbershop, or, you know, I've got my t-shirt, you know, business popping. What are some other tools I need to be aware of to help me scale my operation and run it more efficiently likewise?
Yes. And I'm just pulling up a few, but so there is Klaviyo. Now, Klaviyo is not Black owned, but in my opinion, it's one of the best tools to help you prioritize engagement with your brand. And so I would certainly say that Klaviyo is a tool when it comes to, you know, email marketing and sending and engaging with the shoppers that are engaging with your brand. I would certainly say that you look at Klaviyo. The Now List, which was a recently acquired by Revolt Media, one of P. Diddy's companies. I don't know the name of the new company that bought them, but Khadija over there is pure gold, and she's innovative and apparently got the attention of Revolt and Puff Daddy. So she's got, you know, she's smarter than me as far as that's concerned. But I would definitely say that the Now List is, if you want to list your product and be included in a list of products that is being exposed to other people who are conscious and want to keep the money in the community, I would certainly suggest that you list your product in the Now List, because it's an instant, it's instant eyeballs and instant attention to what you're up to.
And just now, so people understand, like, cause just for clarity, it's the Nile List, N-I-L-E. Cause it sounds L-E. Like what you're saying now. So I just want to make people know it's the Nile.
That's correct.
N-I-L-E
List. Yes, it is the Nile List. And the name of the acquiring company, is called Shop Circulate. And so check that's them Diddy's out on company. Instagram.
Yeah, that's Diddy's.
That's Diddy. Yeah. There you are. And so, you know, any connects there would be welcome. But I definitely think that's another company that you should be looking at listing your products in. Other tools, a competitor to Klaviyo is going to be MailChimp. I would consider Klaviyo, MailChimp. Now, we talked about shoppable Instagram. If you're a retailer, you want to sell products, obviously the first choice and the ideal location that customers purchase your product from is your webpage or your mobile app, because you retain as much of the profit from the sale if they're shopping on your property. But you should also, you know, highlight products on shoppable Instagram. You can tag images so that people can purchase a product while they're shopping their grid. I think that's important. And you know, there's a Google Analytics, and I can talk all day about different types of integration partners that, you know, growing retailers should use, but those are the first that come to mind.
During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family. or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G in-home internet keeps you connected, whether you're at home or on the go, so you can stay connected to your loved ones and to your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode after episode. So connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G in-home internet and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
And so obviously COVID has had a really big impact on e-commerce and retail as a whole, e-commerce being a section of e-commerce, a sector of it, I should say. What trends have you noticed are changed forever because of COVID, and ones that particularly Black entrepreneurs who are working to sell online can get positioned for if they haven't already missed the boat? Like, what can we do to take advantage of this moment?
So prior, that's a good question. Prior to COVID, there was like a slow trend toward shopping and engagement on mobile phones. And frankly, the early days of Sandbox, the need for a mobile app for retailers was not as pronounced. I remember talking to early investors and they're like, why do retailers need mobile apps? And that was a cool thing to say in a meeting. Like, that was like they'd laugh at me in meetings, say retailers don't need mobile apps. And I would point to trends that showed that, the percentage of Google Analytics traffic for retailers was increasing month over month and year over year in the browser. And in some time in the not too distant future, retailers would see and notice that they needed to provide better services and more optimized mobile solutions for consumers to shop on devices. And then came COVID. And I'll say, and I think that all of my peers in the space who have built and are growing technology platforms that are used by retailers can attest to this as well, that retailers will acknowledge today that they need mobile applications in order to be successful. And the percentage of retailers that say they need mobile applications has accelerated over the more than 10 years over the last 1 year. That's it. So every retailer at the beginning of COVID, almost every retailer expressed the need to having a mobile application to either help with curbside pickup, which we've revolutionized, as I mentioned earlier, or to help with providing, delivery engaging with customers at a safe distance. And in the future, what we learned is that consumers have also gotten used to using technologies to transact even more so. Like, I'll tell you, I use my Apple Watch almost exclusively to make a purchase when I go to a coffee shop or, a Lululemon or that type of store. I use my Apple Watch. I don't hand over my credit card anymore. These are trends that will never change. And I think that things like that will, you'll see that the more information will be released, I think, toward the end of the year, kind of capturing some of the data that we've learned about the trends that are occurring in the industry. But I think that a preference to using technology to transact will be one of the things that bears out.
So, I love that you brought up that, all these retailers are saying, or experts, quote unquote, were saying retailers don't need apps, which you've obviously found to not be the case. They do need apps.
Right.
So now you've got us with apps. Will, you got Will Lucas's app, you know, for Will Lucas t-shirts, right?
Right.
How do I get people to download this app now? Because I'm now, because there's so many people who have apps, particularly retailers, who've spent a bunch of money, probably not using your stuff, not using Sandbox, which they should have used, but spend a bunch of money getting these apps done. But now they got to get the word out about go download my app. So how does that happen?
Yeah, I know. And I would, you should look at some of our customers, Shift Style House, black owned female brand, Her Treasure Boutique out of Atlanta, black female, awesome brand that's leveraging Sandbox Commerce to promote their app. They're going to have, I think, more accurate real time and first person type of feedback to support you to share with you. But based on, you know, from the app platform provider's perspective, here's what I'll say to that. If you're just selling t-shirts, then at that stage, I would not necessarily have an app to sell t-shirts.
So I don't need the Will Lucas t-shirt app. I'm gonna...
So hate to bust your bubble there, but there will be a point in which, you know, once you have an apparel line, you need a mobile application, right? So I think that right-sizing the problem with the particular audience is going to be important. I don't think that everyone needs a mobile app. But I think that perhaps Will Lucas, Black Tech Green Money, we can work together to expand the product line, and we can get a mobile app for you.
We can
do that. But what I'll say is that even once you have the mobile app is not meant for everyone. Like, we're not building mobile apps for every one of your customers to use. What I'll say to that is that we're building mobile apps for the 20% of your customers that generate the 80% of your revenue. Those customer loyalists. In other words, our mobile apps are not for the window shopper. They're not for the person that's walking to the mall, isn't really into the brand, or doesn't know who WillLucas.com, shop WillLucas.com is. It's for the people that cut for you. They know exactly who you are. Yeah. They know when your new products are launching, and they want to be the first to get it, right? And typically, that's your most loyal customer that's spending the most money with you. That's who the mobile apps are for. And so it's really knowing who your audience is and then catering to your audience and providing them with the easiest way to transact with you.
Legit. I love that. I love that answer. It's for the 20% who generate 80% of the revenue. It's not for the win. I love that answer. And it's Will Lucas. Right. It's WillLucas.co, by the way, for anybody trying to find me on WillLucas.co.
Oh, well, okay. We can set up the shop. We can set up that shop subdomain, shop.willlucas.co.
Hey.
.eth. So you can start accepting that Ethereum as well.
You're going to have me. I'm going to have you another episode. We got to talk about this. We have to talk about transacting it with crypto. So, you just gave me an idea. Okay. All right. We'll have you back. Yeah. We'll have you back. You did touch on this, and I think this is so important for the time that we live in, and it's data, right? And we too often don't, particularly black business, not all of us writ large, but too many of us who are in business don't know enough about the metrics of our business, our customer profiles, those metrics, those key performance indicators. We don't know enough. We don't know how to pull that data out of our transactions and our business operations, and we don't know enough about our customers. So those people who do pull the trigger on the shop, on the buy button, we don't know enough, too many of us. What are some simple things we can do? So if you were to give homework today, what would you say everybody with an e-commerce, a web store, what are some easy things they can do to start to understand, to start to gather that data? Right. And help translate that data.
Yes. Okay, let's go. So I would start with ensuring you have Google Analytics installed.
Which is free.
On your e-commerce store. It's free.
It's free.
And it's low code. You just need to copy and paste this snippet into your Shopify or BigCommerce backend. If you go to Google, when you set up Google Analytics, they will provide you with a snippet to copy and paste. And what that does is it anonymously tracks each of the users that is traversing your website. From there, I would install another snippet, a tool called Hotjar. And what Hotjar does is it allows you to, it effectively records a video of how customers engage with your website, allowing you to see specifically what they look at, how much time they spent on every page of your website, what they're passing by, what they're focusing on. And it shows like a tracing image or line of the customer's journey and provide some more anonymous data about the customer. And then I would look at potentially using a tool like Intercom to track user information. Intercom is a tool that lets you actually install a chat bubble that captures lead data and user data so that you can not only know who your customers are, but engage with them in real time on your website. Once you scale up and you feel like you've got your legs underneath you from a, again, from a web standpoint, I would ultimately install Sandbox Commerce. I'll tell you why I'm going full circle with this, because the larger brands and retailers learned this a long time ago. But what Sandbox Commerce is really doing for growing brands and retailers is helping them better understand who their customers are and allowing them to more strategically engage with their shoppers. So it's a little known fact that a customer who engages with a brand on a mobile phone using a mobile app shares more data with the retailer than if the customer actually went to the physical store to shop. There are so many attributes that are shared, everything from your location, your demographic, your name, what you looked at, what you have in your shopping cart, and being able to tie all that data together so that the brand and retailer, you as the shop owner, can correlate that information and engage with the shopper in a manner that you are actually adding value to the shopping experience is invaluable and ultimately will lead to increased revenue.
Black Tech Green Money is a production of Blavity Afrotech on the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartMedia. And it's produced by Morgan DeBon and me, Will Lucas, with additional production support by Love Beach and Raven Nearbor. Special thank you to Micah Davis and Sakara Savagnan, you know, like the wine. Yes, that's his real name. Learn more about my guests and other tech disruptors and innovators at Afrotech.com. We're also on YouTube if you're interested in the video interviews. Enjoying Black Tech Green Money? Leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Go get your money. Peace and love.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at High Five Casino.
.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
It's brand new. Season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Su. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.